continue to pray for Miss Irma and Brother Taylor. I shared with you last night that we went to go see Brother Taylor last night, and normally he's up and we're able to visit with him, but he was in the bed and he's still not eating. So please continue to pray for them. And if you get a chance, give them a call, encourage them, and be sure and pray for them. So keep that in mind, please. Let's pray for Brother Fry as he'll be heading back home this afternoon. And we'll give him safety, traveling grace. And are you going where this next week?
Mount Airy.
Back and down. Yes. All right. Anybody? Unspoken request? Raise hand. Lord knows all about that. Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this good weekend and evening. So, Father, we thank you for the spirit that you've had. We thank you for Brother Fry and his testimony, dear Lord. Pray that you continue to bless his ministry, dear Father, as he goes up and down the highways, dear Father, keep him safe there, dear Lord. And I pray that you just bless his preaching, dear Father. Thank you for what he's here for today, dear Father. Pray that you bless his preaching today. Bless your people today, dear Lord. And you know the hearts of everyone that's here, dear Lord. You know the hearts of the ones that we just want to be here, dear Lord. I pray that you be with Sister Taylor and Brother Junior, dear Father. Pray that he can get better, dear Lord, that you'll just touch him, dear Lord. Thank you again for this service, dear Father. We thank you for every word that's said and every song that's sung. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Bless you.
Amen. All right, thank you. You can see the prayer for the choir.
Choir number 122, the Brown Book, number 122, Camping in Canaan's Land. Thank you. 132. I'm going that way, number 132.
Happy all the day.
love you.
Yes.
Castro got it. Okay. I'll tell him to bring you back.
Touchdowns, but according to the news, there were no tornadoes, but there were some severe storm damage right up the road up in Rocky Mountain. I was talking some earlier that one of the roads near Ferrum College, the weather just actually broke the road up, and so I don't know if that was hail or what it was. Several areas had some severe hail damage. A lady that my wife works with in Axton, the hail came through, broke all the shutters on her house, and put dents in her car, and so it was some rough stuff. But thank God, you know, I haven't heard of any casualties or anything, so that's the thing to thank God for. And so we praise the Lord for the weather, the rain that we needed, and so the Lord is good and makes no mistakes. Let's be sure and pray for our birthday girl. And yesterday was this Teresa's birthday, and we had a semi-surprise party last night. Got right down to the wire, and then it leaked out. But a few other things were surprises, so that's good too.
Yes.
You pray. Are you able to sing? Feel like singing? You pray for her. She's got some stuff in us, and that's part of stuff going around with everybody. So let's pray for her. She sings.
I keep watching for the dawning of tomorrow, when we'll meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over, for God will wipe all the teardrops from our eyes. We're here today, could be gone tomorrow, and this life won't even be a memory. We're here today, could be gone tomorrow, where we'll praise the Lord throughout eternity. Today we're getting ready for our final journey, and I'm making plans to live in my new home. Soon those eastern skies will bloom with clouds of glory, and at the sounding the trumpet will be gone. We're here today, could be gone tomorrow, and this life won't even be a memory. We're here today, could be gone tomorrow, where we'll praise the Lord throughout eternity. Where we'll praise the Lord throughout eternity.
Enjoyed some good music and singing in the revival meetings. Thank God for that. But while all of that prepares us, there's no substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. And so we're so appreciative that Brother Price here. And it's hard to believe it's over. It's last service. We're sure glad that he's been able to be with us. He's been able to work us in his busy schedule. He is a busy, busy, busy man. You don't believe that, but I think we, I don't know if it's still over there, we have his, maybe over the fellowship hall, someone's looking at the schedule that he sends out every year, and it's just about everything's booked, he's taken, so that's a good problem to have, isn't it? So a lot of preachers don't have that much, so thank the Lord for that. Would you come preach the word of the Lord to his preacher? Thank you for being with us.
One day you may have to.
All right. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of 2 Kings. Book of 2 Kings this morning, in chapter number 2. In just a moment, we'll begin reading here at verses number 1. We'll read down to verses number 14. Are you finding your places in God's Word? Let me say, certainly has been a joy and a privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Church. I look forward to coming. And I appreciate again the pastor and his wife. I appreciate this church. I've been here for many years. But I enjoyed the fellowship last night in the fellowship hall, although some people got frightened with that siren went off. They called me, it was a tornado warning. I think the preacher's wife was headed below the ground. And I was about to take off. I said, is that an avalanche? What's going on here? But I'm like the pastor. We thank the Lord for the rain. And God is so good to us. My wife, I talked with her by phone. And we had a hailstorm down the house. She said, our driveway, you could just rake it up by hand for it. And so she got her quilt and headed to the bathroom. They said, that's the safest place to be. But anyway, thank you for the offering. Thank you, as I said last night, for your financial support monthly and praying for us in our ministry. And God bless you for having a part in our ministry. As I believe you do, you pray for us as we travel for the Lord. I'm so glad that our schedule is full. We're almost filled now for 2013. We just got started 2012. I'm grateful to the Lord for that. Often preachers say, Brother Price, what's going to happen if you die, and I will one day, like everybody else, the election will take place, what's going to happen to your schedule? I said, I just come back and think, you know, thousand years to do that. But you never know whether you're young, middle age, or old. You never know when that time's going to come. You just need to be prepared. But we cannot just say, I'm going to fold my hands and wait for it. I was in a prayer room at the True Life Baptist Church, I guess it was last week, sitting in the prayer room, and including myself. I seen 3 men, including myself, doing this. Waiting for time to play, just winding it up. And I said, no, no. Now, that reminded me, I used to visit a lady in our church by the name of Sister Lily Bitson. And I'd go see her, and she sat in a rocking chair. She has some age on, this is what she's doing. Well, I visit and she went on. I said, well, no, Sister Benson, what you do? She said, I get so tired of that time. That's all I have to do. Well, I was doing that. They said, when you get that way, that's when you get some age on when you start doing that. I don't know. but I try to stay away from that. But that was so funny in that prayer room. And there was one man that was 91 that was doing it. The other was 83, and one was one. And doing that. Oh, I was so much of that. If you could have looked, please, would you stand as we read the scripture together after reading the speech from the main staff of prayer time? And I appreciate that. Thank you for Sunday school time. And I gave a brief testimony of our ministry. I didn't even get it half covered. If I ever get my book, folks, you just let's get the book to read it. And that's what it's going to be about. All right, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2, beginning at verses number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah to heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to death. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Notice now, he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and then wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up and by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, and took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. My heavenly Father, I come before you on this Lord's Day morning. In that name, which is above every name, my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for Calvary, for the place where the Lamb of God went some 2,000 years ago and voluntarily became our sacrifice, died in our stead, shed his blood that our sins could be washed away. And I want to thank you again that we have this God-given privilege to be, Lord, in Faith Baptist Church. And stand behind this pulpit and open thy word and read just a small portion. Now I pray that thou shalt give me holy unction as I preach for you this morning. Now, Father, again, would you bless every visitor in this audience, every member of this church, every preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist I'm praying for, then Brother Van, Lord, he and his dear wife, I pray you to help them as the other shepherds of this church. Again, I pray you save souls and give revival in these last days. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading word of God and prayer time. Back in the month of August of last year, I was in the Isom Baptist Church just outside of Walnut Cove, North Carolina. And the choir was singing that old song, Lord, give me a double portion. And I was sitting beside a pastor, and I said to the pastor, he wasn't a young pastor, perhaps he's in his early 50s. And I said, isn't that a beautiful song? I have not heard that song in years. He said, I never heard it in my lifetime. And so I turned to a pastor behind me, who was also in his late 50s. And I said to him, I said, isn't that a beautiful song? I have not heard that song in years. He said, I have never heard that song. Isn't that amazing? I remember when the old Yosemite Quartet used to sing that song, Lord, give me a double portion. And so I went home and I began to pray about it. And I said, Lord, if there's preachers who's never heard about the double portion, perhaps I need to preach about that. I said, well, I'm going to preach for a few moments on this thought of obtaining the double portion. And by the way of introduction to our message, this passage records the homegoing of one of the greatest men in the Word of God. Now, Elijah was greatly used of the Lord in his generation, but his time on the earth had came to an end. The day came that when it was time to pass the mantle to a new generation. And so our text tells us about a young man named Elisha. He was a man hungry for all that God could give him. He wanted the Lord and his power in his life, and he was willing to pay the price to get it. This passage tells us what it took for Elisha to obtain the double portion that he asked for. What we learn here from him is valuable in our own lives as well. Like it did for Elisha, the mantle of ministry in these days rests upon you and me. If you and I do not get the gospel out to a lost and dying world, there's no one else to get it out. When I think about this, if we're going to be as effective as we should be for the glory of the Lord, then we too need the power of God's Spirit in our lives. And so this passage tells us how to go about getting the power of God in our life. First of all, Elisha made a spiritual request. You'll find this in verses number 9 and verses number 10. We find in verse number 9, first year, the content of his request. He said, and it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now Elisha asked to receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit. The request was not for twice the power that had rested on Elijah. The request was to be recognized as Elijah's replacement. Now I've heard people say, if our pastor passes away, who's going to take his place? Or if this deacon passes away, who's going to take their place? Or the pianist, or the song leader, or the Sunday school teacher, we'd go through the church. But always remember that God has always had a place for us to meet. And God has always had a replacement when our work is done here in Pentecost. And again, when I look here in the Bible tells us it was common for the firstborn children, notice that, to receive a double portion of their father's estate. Now, this was mandated by the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the son of Haiti for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. On the service, we notice something, ladies and gentlemen. He called Elijah my father in verses number 12. Elijah was asking for the right of the firstborn. He was asking that the same spirit that empowered the ministry of this great man of God be given to him as well. What kind of a spirit was he asking for? First of all, a spirit of faith. Now, Elijah learned to trust in the presence of the power of God in this world. And he knew that God was in absolute control of every situation, so he walked by faith. If there was ever a man that ever walked by faith, it was Elijah. He believed in God, he trusted God, so he traveled by faith. And then we notice number 2, he prayed and asked for a spirit of obedience. Now, Elijah instantly and without question, even when the commands of God made no sense at all, he was still obedient to the Lord. There are times that God gives us a command. At the time that God gives us that command, it makes no sense to us at all. And our job is to follow God. Why? Because God has never made a mistake. And God will never make a mistake. And so we're to be obedient to the Lord. So he asked for a spirit of obedience. And then number 3, he prayed for and asked for a spirit of courage. Now his faith in God and his obedience to God combined to give him the courage to stand for God even when others ran away. Now in these last days, and these are the last days for the church, I'll tell you that, ladies and gentlemen, we see so many fainting by the wayside and so many running away from their responsibility. It takes a faith of courage, a spirit of courage, to walk with God in these last days. Because as many times when we see so many has quit serving God and sat down by the wayside, the devil comes to us and says, you ought to sit down too. But we must press on. Why? Because the journey is not complete yet. Then again, I know something else here. We find in verse number 10 the character of his request. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So Elisha's told that he has asked a hard thing. In other words, it was beyond the power of Elijah to grant such a request. Only God could raise up prophets and give them positions of power and influence. On the surface, we find that Elijah's request seems a little selfish. It seems as though he is asking for twice the power and twice the glory. But in truth, he requests it is most humble in nature. Elisha knows that Israel still needs a man of God to deliver the word of God and to do the work of God. He also knows that if he is to be that man, then he needs a power that he does not possess. And so he needs the power of God working in him and through him if he is to get the job accomplished in his ministry. Now I want you to notice now, Elijah wasn't asking for power of wealth or position. He was simply asking for the power of God. People today, they pray for the wealth of this world. Church, I learned a long time ago I was not ever going to be a millionaire. I learned that a long time ago. And I had learned something else a long time ago, that God made you a promise and made me a promise. If we're serving faithfully, he's going to meet and supply our every need. And God has done that, and he is still doing that. And so my prayer is this, that I, listen, would have the spirit, like Elisha's prayer, and the power of God to serve him. But I'm so glad that we're more than millionaires. We are a child of God. Been born again. Name recorded in the last book of life. Thank God in heaven is our home. We're more than millionaires on this earth. I'll assure you, ladies and gentlemen. When I look here again in the Word of God, we find something else. We find the condition of that request. And then also, we find that Elijah, he tells Elisha that he, listen, if he's with him until he is taken out of this world, then he will have the thing for which he is asking for. The idea here is that this blessing can be his, but Elisha must remain faithful where? Until the end. Not for a day, not for a month, not for a year, but until the very end. You've got to be faithful. You have got to be faithful to the end. It would have been far easier for Elisha to have stayed in one of the towns they passed through. But had he dropped out along the way, he would never have received the blessing he desired and so desperately needed from God. Again, if there was ever a day when we need people with a heart like Elisha, it's in the day which we are now living. Let me say, we will learn this lesson right here. And it's a good thing when we learn this lesson, that God is able to save. And God is able to take care of all those that he saves. Can I just testify for just a moment and tell you this? Since the day that God saved me, I have never wasted time wondering where I'm going to go when I die. You know why? Because I put my faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, knowing that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that hell. I have never lost a night's sleep whether I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven because I accepted and did what God told me. I've been born again. And because my name is written there, so I don't worry about dying and going to hell. Today, if you're not saved, you haven't settled that thing, you need to settle with God. Far too long, the church has tried to operate in the machinery of human wisdom and power rather than the power of God. Today, seemingly that people have gone to school, and I'm for school, I'm not against that now. And they have learned in letter, in word, how to pastor, but they've never been in a field to experience a pastor. You can learn and get all the knowledge about pastoring, but till you get in that position as God's under shepherd, you'll never be able to do it from some office somewhere. You've got to get over here. And too long, our churches, we have learned, especially we from that old school, we have learned one thing, that our churches is not a machine. It's God's work. It's the work of God. And it has to be the power of God to operate the church, because we don't have that kind of power to operate the little church. It has to be God. Then again, as a result, we have lost the power of God that made us so remarkable. My friends, we need to seek the Lord for spiritual power in these days. We don't need to get concerned about numbers, although I believe in numbers now. But so many people today, they're concerned about how many they got sitting in the church pew. As I've said before, when I preach, and I'm sure a pastor, every preacher would like to see every pew filled with people when you preach. But that's not happening. That's not happening in this day. But let me say, but we don't sit down to serve the God because the pews are not filled. And then again, let me say something else. We don't need to be, listen, we don't need to get caught up in the many debates that are engaged in the hearts and minds of our church folk today. You turn your television on. They'll be sitting at this table debating the Word of God. And all of them has given opinion. My job is not to debate the Bible, but my job is to preach the Bible. God will take care of himself. I don't have to prove that the King James is right. That's God's job. It is right. I preach what I know. I preach from this book. I wouldn't have no other book, and I don't have to go out beating my second chest. I'm a King James preacher. Anyone that hears me preach, they know what I am and who I am. And I know who you are and what you are if I'm around you long. We believe the things that God stands for. And so we do not need to get caught up in all these debates. May I just pause right here for just a moment? We see today, and I'm against homosexuality. I am. I'm against the same-sex marriage. God's against that, and I'm against that. It's a sin. It's wrong. But all the signs that I could go to Raleigh and care in the Catholic state, that's Richmond, Virginia, that to show the world that I'm standing with the Bible, that's going to get nothing accomplished. They said for that day, thousands of go up in King, North Carolina, what, thousands went up because of the flag. They still not flying the flag. But you know what we need to do as God's people? Band together and pray. Prayer will change things in our church. Prayer will change things in our nation, in our counties, in our states, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I have never demonstrated in my life. No, why? Because I believe if God can't do it through prayer, it's not going to get done. We need to get back to the old-time way of serving God and just pray for our nation. And I'll say this, the only thing that's going to help our nation is the old-fashioned Bible again. Then I'll tell you what we need to do. To carry the command of Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, as they said, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to get before the Lord and request His power and His glory in these days for it to get the job done for God. So we must have Him and know how we need Him and His power more than we need crowds and money and bills or anything else that we hold so dear. We need God. So the kind of blessing and power does not come upon those that's uncommitted, only those who are committed to the Lord. Is reserved for those who will pay the price in prayer and hold us before the Lord. Then number two, if you notice here, Elisha manifested a steadfast resolve. I like that word, resolve. I will not be moved. I'm resolved to keep my eyes on Elijah. And then he's taken up into heaven. I made this, and I have resolved a long time ago to keep my eyes on the Lord and not on man. When I look in the Bible talks about it in verses 3-5, from the time it came apparent that Elijah was leaving until the moment, listen, he left and Elijah received a blessing. Several trials crossed his way that attempted to hinder him. And however, Elijah remained focused on obtaining the double portion. We find opposition did not shake his resolve. In verses 3 and 5, and the sons of the prophet were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head? And then he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as I so liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold you peace. At every turn, the sons of the prophets asked Elisha the same question. Knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? This is a question, listen, it's literally this. Why are you still following that old man? The Lord is through with him, and he's calling him to heaven today. You'd be better off to stay with us or strike out on your own. But Elisha had a resolve. He's going to go with Elijah. Now, if you decide that you're going out to God until you obtain the double portion, you'd better look out all around you. There'll be people who will do everything they can to stalk you out of it and talk you out of it. Again, we look in the Bible. And listen, I don't know if they're bothered or offended when someone progresses farther than they have, but you can be assured that they will attack you and oppose you if you go with God wholehearted, committed unto the Lord. There'll be people in your family. Sometimes people in the church, on the job, will oppose you. Then I noticed number two in verses 1-6, opportunities did not shake his resolve. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave them. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said, tarry, I pray thee here. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So the two went on. Every time they passed through a city, Elijah even attempted to get Elisha to stay. Now this wasn't an effort on his part to hinder Elisha's progress. It was designed to test his resolve. Pleasant stopping places. These were opportunities for Elisha to stop and settle down. But he didn't. He went on. When I look at Gilgal, we find it's a place of beginning. So it was here that the Israelites first celebrated Passover in the Promised Land. Here the males born during the wilderness wanderings were circumcised, and their covenant was renewed in Joshua 5. And then number two, I look at Bethel, the place of dreams. It was here that Jacob listened and met God and dreamed of angels descending and ascending out of heaven in Genesis 28. And then I look at Jericho, the place of passing victories. It was here that Israel had its first military victory in the Promised Land in Joshua 6. Jericho was also a border town. To pass beyond this location was to enter wild and new territory. And then Jordan, the place of death. And that river represented the boundary for the Promised Land. To cross it meant to enter into death. It was a forbidden barrier that few would ever want to cross. And let me say, note here, we too find ourselves at these same places in our walk with the Lord. Far too many believers spend their entire Christian life living at Gilgal. They never grow. Oh, listen, they never leave the place of beginnings. There's people in this world is still at Gilgal. From the day they got saved, they never moved away from it. They have never ventured any farther out. Then again, some go as far as Bethel. They catch a vision of God's great work which must be done. They see the needs, they feel the tug, but they never get past the place of dreaming about what they might do. They never take the next step of making those dreams and visions realities. And we find still others hold on to their Jericho. They live in the victories of yesterday. Now they remember what happened back there, forgetting that the same God who blessed then is desiring to bless now. And then some, listen, they come to Jordan. This is the barriers between self-life and the spirit life. If you ever take that final step of faith, shall out to go with God all the way. Notice that all the prophets, notice now, all the prophets, only Elisha had enough faith to cross the river and to go with Elijah. It was Elijah who received the double portion of all the prophets along the way in this journey. Now, you've got to remember that Elisha left everything to follow Elijah. He left everything, home, occupation, everything, to follow this great man of God. Don't let the opportunities to settle down along the way to hinder your progress, but thy faith proceed with God and watch God remove all the barriers in your life. Again, when I look at this, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. I notice something else here in verses 1-6, obstacles did not shake his resolve. Even Elijah seemed to be an obstacle to Elisha's progress. After all, he tried three times to get Elisha to stay behind. The Jordan, listen, also stood as a barrier between Elisha and receiving what he desired. Still he went on. He resolved in his heart to stay with Elijah until he was taken away. He did not want to miss the blessing. Even the Jordan was no obstacle to this man's faith. After all, Elijah was going to pass over Jordan, and so was Elisha. Whatever means his master used, will be the means he himself will use to cross the stream. Whatever method that Elijah uses, I'm going to use the same thing. I'm going with Elijah across the stream, across that river. Remember, when they do, they're there. I'm talking about obstacles now. When they come your way, my way, they're there for a reason. Since the day that God saved you, and since the day that God saved me, everything that's happened in my life, or your life, God allowed that obstacle to do that. He sent me here. And I'll take a moment to give this to you. Last year, in the month of April, I came to the other side of Danville here, well, in Danville, outside of Danville, at Timber Lake Baptist Church. And we'd already left Mount Airy. And so we left Timber Lake and went to Lynchburg. From Lynchburg on to Fredericksburg. And then we're coming back down to Middle Danville. So we've been out there in the home at least 4 or 5 weeks, haven't been home. And after leaving Fredericksburg on Saturday morning, we started running the rain. And when we got to Durham, we heard on the radio that the tornado was passing through Raleigh. And I was in wind and rain like I had never driven in before. When we got to the church, it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said to my wife, I said, why don't we just took the motorhome up to AC, take the little car and drive home, and stay a little while and then come back and get our mail. She said, that's like a good idea. And so we did that and got home and went to the house and looked at the mail, and I had to run an errand. So I went to crank the town car, which stopped in the garage, and it wouldn't crank. I called my son to come and help me get it started. Then I went on and took care of that business. Then we stayed around the house a couple of hours, and I said, it's time to go back and get everything set up and get ready for the service on Sunday. And I went to crank the little car I'm driving in, and the battery was dead on it. I left the lights on. And so I said, well, since Miss Potter's going to come home on Wednesday, we'll just drive the big car, and we just leave this car at home. And I called my grandson and told him what happened to come by, and cranked the little car and put it in the garage for me. And then we drive back to Meldan, which is around 65 or 70 miles. And when you go inside the parking lot, they got a big gate. And I have a set of keys to that gate. And so coming in without going out with the rest of the evening, I'm just going to lock the gate behind us, and I lock the gate. Then I put up in front of the motorhome, and I said to my wife, do you know what? I left our keys to the motorhome in the house. And you know where the keys were to that gate? Inside the motorhome. We're locked out and locked in at the same time. Have you ever been locked out and locked in at the same time? We were. I didn't understand that. So I called the pastor and I shared my situation with him. He said, I'll have a man there in just a few moments to get you gate unlocked. So we went back home and we drove up in our driveway. And I said to my wife, I don't understand this. I can't blame this on God. I cannot claim Romans 8:28 here. I cannot blame it on the devil. And I can't blame it on you. She said, then thou art the man. Oh, I hate that. Thou art the man. I said, what do you think we should do? She said, let's just spend the night and get up early in the morning. I said, sound like a good idea to me. But sometimes, these obstacles, and I don't know today why that God allowed that. We was tired, it was in all those miles. I do not understand. I just know that God makes no mistakes. But there are going to be some obstacles along the way. And so we find these obstacles will test your resolve, but they're God's responsibility to take care of you. Then also, Elisha got in on a miracle because he did not back away from an obstacle. If God has put a resolve within your heart to go with him, then let nothing short of death keep you from going with God. The Bible tells us that he has called you, and it's his responsibility to clear your path. I think about Caleb in the Bible. Listen, I think about Joshua. I think about David. I think about Samuel and Moses. God has taken care of his men in the past. He's taken care of them today that we're living in. And all through the Bible, God took care of his men because they followed God. Then I want you to notice the last of here. The Bible said, Elisha managed a sovereign response. In verses 11 through 14, because he would not be deferred short of victory, Elisha got to partake of some wonderful supernatural events. First of all, in verses 11, Elisha watched Elijah's miracle. Because he remained with Elijah, Elisha got to see the man of God taken up into heaven alive. That must have been a miracle. We sing that song, what a day that would be. Can you imagine along this journey now, as Elisha is following Elijah. And all the things that they went through, not one time did Elijah back away from his resolve. He kept his eyes from Elijah right because he wanted to receive that miracle. The Bible teaches us because he remained with Elijah, Elijah got to see the man of God taken up into heaven alive. He said, Brother Friday, you believe that? As sure as I'm believing, I believe that. Because it's Bible. Then I'll have you know something else. In verses number 12, number 2, Elisha wore Elijah's mantle because he stayed with the man of God who was given Elijah's mantle. The sheepskin garment was a tangible sign. Elijah's ministry had been handed down to Elisha. In other words, because he refused to be waylaid, distracted, or sidetracked, Elisha got exactly what he asked for. He inherited the ministry of his master. Praise the Lord. Then we find Elisha to walk with Elijah's master. When Elisha returned to the banks of Jordan, he knew that the mantle in the midst of Elijah had passed to him. Brief testimony. That years ago,
my pastor, who stood so faithfully in the pulpit, expounded the word of God, blazed a trail in front of this young preacher. And I sat out there
with all the years listening to him, taking him in my heart and soul. And I say, one day, Lord, I'd like to follow in my pastor's footsteps.
If you had ever heard my pastor preach and hear me preach, you said, you sound just like your pastor. You know why? Because I was trained by him. He was my teacher.
And I'm so glad that his man fell on this preacher that many years ago when God called him. I have a grandson, Joshua, who's been preaching 5 years. And I'm saying to Joshua, if I go by death, I'm praying that my man, Joshua, fall on me. And I said, son, it'd be great
if you pick up my itinerary. Get in touch with all these preachers that I'm stepping in my grandpa's footsteps. And I'd like to preach for him. And get all my outlines
and just take them home. I have every outline set about the week that I've made for all these 50-some years of preaching. I take every one. And my grandson is begging for them now. We can get them now, not now. We might hurt them for one day. And I said, then something else comes. He said, Papa, that sounds good to me. I said, then take up my motorhome payments.
He said, I don't think that sounds too good, Papa.
But anyway, as I go, the God of Elijah is still in power. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and today and forever, as I conclude. So do you want the double fortune in your life? Do you want to be in a position where the God of heaven is using you for his glory in this world? All that's required is a consistent walk with the Lord. And follow him in spite of everything. When you get to the place where all you want is God, you'll find God is all you need. And all you want is God. That's all you need. I'm so glad one day I've had you arrive at the same place. I came to the place and all I wanted was God.
You see, something about when you're young, you want all those attractions. New homes, first things attract you.
Well, when you've been serving God a good many years, just know a little bit about the book. All of that stuff pays you well. And the things we have, I know, all that cars is a necessity, not a luxury. It's a means of getting around to preach the gospel. These other things, they don't pass enough money. But I'll tell you what does pass enough money. And one day God's going to fill the veil. Because their children come up. Would you stand here all over the church? While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, it's our song when we begin this time. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for these few short services. Thank you for the liberty of which we live on. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing with the choir this morning and one with the soul. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the pastor and his wife and his folks. Would you ever keep your hand upon them? And Lord, taking care of their every need, bring those to all that needs to come. Save that lost person, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we hope to see you there. you need help, or you need to talk with some of him, he's here for you. Would you be obedient to the Lord? Would you come?
He's ever had in his ministry is the fact, as far as an evangelist is concerned, that he's been accused by a handful of people of preaching too much Bible. You believe that? I don't think you have too much Bible. Some messages on TV, they don't have any Bible, do they? Thank you so much for being here. Get some time fellowship with Brother Friday. You know, pray for him. Appreciate him working this into his schedule. Let's receive the Lord's tithes and offerings this morning. God, thank you again. This time, God, thank you. Appreciate the offering that you've been given this week. Lord, Friday, we'll take care of him, of course. Lord, teaches us to take care of God's servants. And we let you know what God now has. And it's in the name of the Lord. This is the Lord's tithes and offerings. This is for the upkeep of God's house here. So we're able to give today. Brother Julius, let's
say. Thank you.
and that's a blessing. It's when you see somebody running to put their tithes in place. Amen. Well, I think we've had revival. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great.
All right. Tonight, there'll be no service tonight because we've had revival meeting Friday night, Saturday night, and this morning. Next Sunday, April 1st, we'll be going back to our Sunday evening services at 5 o'clock. So keep that in mind. Adjust your schedule so you can be here. And be great. Okay? All right. Have a good day. Come by and see Brother Fry. Lord bless you.